Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILF.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest. Covers the University of Michigan for the Detroit Free Press. And the unveiling of the stadium on Extends, the bigger big house today. And that is Mark Snyder. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. I'm hoping Tom's going to let me in one of his suites today.
You're right. I could barely pay for my
ticket. How much did you pay for that suite, Tom?
I didn't pay anything. I wonder how those suite sales are going to go if they drop it to UConn today, Mark.
I think, that's part of the deal today. I think that they're, it's all about the presentation and highlighting all that stuff. But I think the suite sales have done very well, actually, considering all the adverse factors, the economy, the terrible team, all the controversy around the program, the fact that they've sold 65 out of the 81, I think it's better than most people would have expected.
Yeah, better than I would have expected in this
economy. Yeah, and that's the high-ticket items you're talking about.
Do you think we'll see all three quarterbacks today, Mark?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you think we'll see all three Michigan quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they don't know what they have. I think they don't know, especially with Gardner, they don't know what he's going to be like in a game, and they want to see that because with Forcier and Robinson, I think they have a good idea. With Forcier, they definitely have an idea. And that probably works against him today because, it's a situation where Forcier has proven they know what he is. And if he cuts down on the turnovers, he's a very good quarterback. He's very solid. But, he's not going to be able to run the read option. It's just not his thing. And Gardner is a total wild card because he has all the physical tools and he can do everything. And they want to see Robinson's progress. So Robinson will probably start the game. But I think that they... it works against Forcier probably that they know him so well and they know what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mark, I think, I'm looking back historically as I always do, wasting time focusing on stuff like meaningless stuff like this. But I go back 25 years. In fact, since Harbaugh a junior year and they played Notre Dame, they beat Beilein Notre Dame after that 84 season where they had something to prove. I think this team is more challenged to make a statement than any other Michigan team has in the last 25 years. When you consider the fact how maligned they've been, all the off-the-field stuff, the investigation, the ridiculous record, the porous defense, the whole nine yards, I think that they're going to be ready to make a statement today, and I'm expecting Michigan to win big today. Am I pretty sick in that prediction?
No, I think they're going to win. I predicted them to win, although I'm not very good at these predictions. But I think in terms of viewing it compared to that team, you got to remember the talent on that team. That 1985 Michigan team, they had how many guys played in the NFL?
Yeah.
A dozen?
Well, later on, but going into that, we really didn't know that as much.
No, but you could have gone based on Michigan's previous years that they would have that talent year after year, and this team does not have 12 NFL players. I think that would be a stretch for anyone to assume. And that's kind of the concern, is that, as hungry as they are, as motivated as they are, which is probably as motivated as any team in the country, you still got to have the players to execute.
So you think Michigan doesn't have very much talent, is what you're saying?
Well, I don't think they have the same talent that they had, in the mid-'80s, where they were sending 4 and 5 top picks.
On the defensive side of the ball, in particular.
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, who do you see as a first-round draft pick out of this
group?
Well, but
you're different. You're not dealing
with... Don't tell me Roy Roundtree's a first-round draft pick.
You're not dealing with... This is a different type of personnel because you're dealing with a spread offense. You're dealing with different kinds of talent than you were in the conventional offense that Jim Harbaugh led in 1985.
All right, so tell me which of these players is going to play in the NFL.
I'm not saying they're... Yeah, because of their style of the play. Mark, what are your thoughts on that? Don't you agree with me?
Definitely off some offensive linemen who are NFL players. Some of the younger guys and even some of the older guys, would have a chance. But, I think that you just look at it and the offensive skill players. I think Darryl Stoneham, the wide receiver, is an NFL player. I think, the tailbacks are all so young, so maybe one of them can emerge. We haven't seen any of that yet.
Mm-hmm. Steve Schilling could play in the NFL.
Yeah. Steve Schilling is one of the upperclassmen. Taylor Lewan, redshirt freshman. Those younger guys, Patrick Omame at guard, definitely an NFL player. These guys can play in the NFL, but I think skill positions are not what they were, clearly.
Right. And there's a difference, Mark, between playing in the NFL and being what Michigan was on draft day, where you knew you were going to have somebody in the first round and you were going to have 4 or 5 guys who were going to get picked fairly early.
Yeah, and I think that's the evaluation of the talent is the NFL, and maybe you know they could this team could be very good and still not you know produce a lot of NFL talent too. I think that there's a you know there's a line through there. Look at Rich Rodriguez's West Virginia teams; they were fabulous. You know, I mean, they're winning BCS bowl games and things like
right.
that. How many of those guys played in the league?
Absolutely. And the reason I'm saying that they should, besides being motivated, Mark, is the fact they've been together. This is the third year, okay? The learning curve is we're supposed to be conquering this by now. And that's
offense.
What I'm hoping for.
Well, the offense is in its third year, and it should be very good, and I think people expect it to be very good. The defense, though, the defense has gone the other way. They had all the experience when he first came in, you know, the Terrence Taylors, Tim Jamesons, Will Johnsons, all those guys, and now it's going the other way. And the defense is the inexperienced part, like the secondary especially. I mean, they have an NFL player in Mike Martin in the front.
Van Bergen's pretty good.
And Van Bergen, yeah, I don't know if he's an NFL player, but obviously Mike Martin is in the front, and maybe Jonas Mouton is a linebacker, and, you know, there's some guys there. But, you know, I think that it's going the other way, and there's a lot of inexperience on defense, and I think that that's going to be the big test. The good thing about playing Connecticut is that Connecticut doesn't throw the ball. They run
right.
the ball. Last year they had 2 1,000-yard rushers, so you know they're going to pound it. And as Rodriguez said earlier this week, maybe they'll take some shots to play action to test our secondary. But for the most part, you know, they're a pounded team, and that works to Michigan's advantage. Too.
Right. Our guest, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. And, Mark, when you think about Michigan's early schedule, they've got a couple of games right out of the chute that I think are going to tell us more than we'll know about most teams. How much are you going to know about this team after the Notre Dame game?
Oh, quite a bit, because I think Notre Dame, you know, is absolutely against what Michigan wants. As good of a matchup with Connecticut is Notre Dame's the opposite. I mean, they got Michael Floyd, with Michigan has no one. They couldn't cover him with three guys, and they're going to have tough. They've got Kyle Rudolph, the tight end. I mean, they're going to throw the ball, and Brian Kelly, as we know, is motivated to beat Michigan. I think he feels, you know, it was an injustice that he wasn't considered strongly for the
right.
job when it was opened. And I think that, you know, his historically is, you know, that's the way he operates. He's going to be really motivated next week, and I think sure against Michigan State as well.
Right.
You know, that's and he's not going to let up. So when they have an opening, then, you know, they'll go.
Hey, Mark, this is not going to happen because I'm predicting Michigan to win the first six games. You probably think I'm on cocaine, but that's just the way I think it is. But Jack is cracking up here. But just work with me here for a second. They drop the first two games, Michigan does, okay? Then comes UMass and BG. I'm expecting 70,000 to show up in the big house for
no.
those two. Well, I'm just saying the people
why?
Will be.
Why do you say that?
Well, I'm just
they
saying.
They bought the tickets. They want
listen,
to see him beat
no,
somebody for a change.
To listen to me. I'm thinking the Dobbers will be down so low because they know that if Michigan drops these first two, the program's going in another direction.
How much do you pay for your tickets?
A lot.
And you wouldn't use them?
$1,500.
No,
I'd
still
be there.
Go.
I'm talking about the lion's share of people. I think
they're going to just flush that money down the toilet.
Maybe I'm exaggerating, but there'll be a
You're
lot of no-shows. And I'm telling you right this, just the attitude towards the program will be horrendous. And then you got Michigan State and Iowa coming in October.
That's going to be
a train wreck if that happens, if they drop these first two.
I think you're right, Tom. I think these two are definitely a trendsetter. They win the first two, and you know they're poised to do something very special this year and impress a lot of people and you know win eight, nine games. But if they drop the first two, yeah, it could go downhill fast.
All
I agree.
Right. Well, there's a lot to watch today. Any players that stand out to you as being the key to how Michigan does this season? Obviously, we talked about the quarterbacks, but is there one guy, Mark, that if you knew he was going to have a great year, Rich Rodriguez can breathe just a hair easier?
One of the running backs, I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they know which one. But I think if there's a running game, Michigan's offense really makes a big difference. I mean, on offense, I guess that's the biggest thing is the running game, so there's some balance. I think the passing game's going to be fine, and you know Denard Robinson's going to be able to run the ball. But I think that they need some running backs to give a different look. In terms of defense, they need the secondary to be solid. They don't need to be great. But they need one of those freshman cornerbacks, I think, Colin Christian, Courtney Avery, Terrence Talbot, to play up. I think Floyd will be okay, JT Floyd on one side, but they need to have solid cornerback play because if they don't, they're going to be burned like they were last year. I mean, 2 years ago, you know, they just got run up and down. But last year, it was just the big plays that killed them. If you give up big plays, you know, you can't stay in a game.
Hey, Mark, enlighten me a little bit. What the hell is the deal with Will Campbell? I mean, this guy came out of high school, and I thought he was going to be the real deal. What's going on with him?
Well, part of the thing is in high school, Will Campbell was 300 pounds, and he was so much stronger than anyone. He just overwhelmed them on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. He got to Michigan, and they made him work. You know, he had to get in shape, and now the first year and the second year, he's had a lot of problems, you know, staying in shape and getting into the shape that they want him to be in. I think that he's getting there, and they even roomed him with Mike Martin during this camp to try to, you know, motivate him, but you know, he should be competing. I mean, he's playing Martin's position, so he's not going to beat out Martin. But, you know, if Martin has a big year, he's gone. He's going to go to the NFL, obviously, because he's that talented.
Right.
And then they got to put it on Campbell next year, and they got a real, you know, that'd be a lot. He's really got to mature, and they're trying to, you know, whip him into shape. He's got the talent. He just needs to understand that, you know, the difference between this level and that level, you know, is his effort.
We're talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press once again, Tom. I refer you back to Rico Beard, who came into the studio here, and he had a lot of unflattering things to say about Will Campbell.
That's where his druthers are.
As a high school player, he saw, and you know what? We see this all the time. It happens at Michigan State, too. Michigan State had a guy named Matthew Amaker.
Oh, I remember
And came
him.
In, right?
In the
and
early
he was
90s.
Just bigger than everybody else. Doesn't mean he's better than anybody else. Doesn't mean he's ready to play more than anyone else. And once again, it shows that some of Michigan's best players over the years have been guys who were not the top of the line guy in the Midwest.
Right.
Greg Jones wasn't one of those guys
coming
out of high school. So you just have to take that with a bag of salt.
Hey, Mark, I want to ask you, and this goes back to Troy Wolfolk's comment, and it's poked a little bit at Tate Forcier about not coming to, you know, working out hard enough and stuff like that. How is this senior class? I mean, during the bow era, as you well know, as a student down there, I mean, that was such a core of the program, the leadership, the bonding of the senior class. How is this senior class, is there in terms of leading the rest of the team?
I think Rodriguez has said it's the best one of the three he's been there, and that may be what he implied was that was because their communication with the coaches is better than it's been. But I think it's a very cohesive group, and I think they've all said, and maybe it's because that, you know, they're not the most talented players on the team, and that's one of the reasons that it's so cohesive, because they're worried about the leadership and they're less worried about their own individual stats and their own NFL futures and that type of thing. And when one of the captains is Mark Mondros, who was the fullback and just played, he walked on, he was a fullback, and he was a very successful fullback, got on the field, et cetera, and he offered to move to linebacker, not because he's going to help his own professional career, which is possible, I guess, down if he has a good year, but the idea is that what he could do is help the team the most. And that self-sacrifice and that hard work kind of typifies this class, even though there's only 12 seniors.
Right. Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, our guest. Mark, thanks so much. We appreciate you joining
us. Mark.
Anytime.
All right. We'll be back. And Larry Lage of the Associated Press is going to be with us in just a moment. We'll be right back. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.